Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone, episode 43. My name is Kieran Tavam, and as always, I'm joined by a man that I can now call the deputy editor of Women's Soccer Zone, and of course, represents Our Game magazine as well, JJ Duke. JJ, how are you, mate?
Didn't realise that the position didn't come without a pay raise.
Hey,
I need to go to my agent about this.
As soon as I get paid, you get paid.
Fair enough. Good. Everything's all good. It's we're doing this recording right in the middle of a snowstorm in the Northeast, so shovel out a foot and probably looking at a few more inches after that. So all's bright and cheery here in Connecticut.
Yeah, whenever I seem to speak to you around the winter months, you seem to be shoveling snow all the time. So I hope everyone's okay out there. Obviously, stay safe if you are experiencing heavy snow. But we're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to talk about women's soccer. And there's been some big news that's been going on over the last couple of weeks since we did our last show. And rather than doing a running order, JJ, I think we just jump straight in. And of course, the big news that broke in the United States in the last week was the TV deal. It's actually being branded a media deal that has occurred between the NWSL and A&E Networks. Their Lifetime channel is going to be the new broadcast partner for the league moving forward for the next 3 years. You know more about this than I do. You've written an article for the Women's Soccer Zone website. Do you want to give people a little bit of information as to what this means for the league?
Well, it's obviously a big deal, first off, in the sense that, you know, now the league, they've finally gotten out of that poor contract that they made with Fox a couple of years ago, really only to show a couple of back end of the season games, which a lot of those ended up being games that didn't really have any impact in the standings, and then playoffs in the championship game. But now we're going to have a stable set time match every week, which would be Saturdays at 4 p.m. on Lifetime Network. And that's something that's important because, you know, you're always going to have that climax show or that, you know, that appointment viewing that, you know, a lot of sports is really kind of lost over the years because it's just everything is so forced pressed on us. I know, obviously, you're a big American football fan, Kieran, and, you know, these times now you have games being shown on Thursdays, on Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays. You feel like things are being hard-pressed. Well, now the league is elected to go a little bit of a different route, not showing their content on a channel that's mainly showing sports. It's a, you know, entertainment programming network, but still at the same time it has shown WNBA basketball years ago in the past. But this is a good move for the league because it could bring in a new audience, and also, again, having that stable time of, you know, you always know that the game of the week is going to be at this time every, you know, Saturday afternoon. But more than that, you know, this is also something that's going to help the league in a multitude of ways. You're going to have a media arm called NWSL Media, which is going to help, you know, run all the digital content of the league. It's going to help, you know, streamline the production, also potentially in-house content as well. And I think most importantly, and the big question mark, we'll get into this in a moment, but the you know, they're going to oversee everything for the streaming of the league for all the games that aren't going to be on TV.
Yeah, you mentioned the timings. I think it's going to be on a Saturday afternoon for you guys, isn't it? 4 p.m. ET. So that's going to be, I guess, a big deal for those that are in America. And my understanding is Lifetime, am I right? Lifetime is kind of a channel that's aimed at a female audience, or have I misread that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a channel that's has popular programming. Dance Moms, I believe, is one of the shows. There's Project Runway that's on there. They always show movies, whether it's you know, in already, you know, mainstream productions or also in-house movies as well that they've created. So yeah, it's a little bit of a different audience, but it's something that's, you know, a little off the beaten track, and I don't mind that because when you look at it, the past deals that the league had, they're just being swallowed into, well, we need filler coverage, so let's put this league on a Sunday night at 8 o'clock going up against NFL contest. When you think about it, that Saturday afternoon sequence, that's only going to be going against very minimal major competitions. Baseball, really, I think the main competitor. Maybe a few other things here and there. But yeah, I think, you know, and I'm or in the back end of the season, you'll have college football on, but still, it's a very good time slot, and one that I think could generate some decent audience.
So a good deal for those in the United States. I guess the big question for myself over here in the UK and the international audience is, what does it mean for the rest of us?
And that's the big question, isn't it? That's the one that we're trying to figure out for this streaming deal. And, you know, when we go on, or when folks check out the article that I posted as, you know, a reaction to this, we don't know what the streaming package is going to be. Is it going to be on YouTube? Is it going to be its own, you know, say like NWSLlive.com? Now, if they want to use that website name, then you just got to pay me a little bit of commission fee, but for the rights. But hey, you know, they have to make sure whatever the platform is, even if it is a small fee for pay-per-view, I don't mind that. It has to keep the international audience, because that is the cornerstone of this league. Because you see, as yourself, Kieran, a lot of people from around the world tune into this league, which really makes it unique.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And I think that comes down to his history and legacy with US soccer being, you know, one of the leading countries for women's football. And I think when we've seen the leagues before, like WUSA and WPS, we had access certainly to WPS. I used to watch late at night on a Sunday. And the international players that are there as well, you know, obviously for us in England, we've seen Rachel Daly and Leah Galton last season. For those just outside England, in Wales and Scotland, we've seen Rachel Causey, Kim Little, Jess Fishlock. You know, there is interest in these players because people grow attached to them over here. They move to different countries and they want to follow those players. And I think people don't just follow players, they follow teams now. You know, there are people here and in Europe and in Australia and wherever it might be, they actually follow the Seattle Reign, or they follow the what will be the North Carolina Courage, Orlando Pride, Sky Blue FC. It would be a massive shame for them to be locked out. And I know that Jeff Plush made the point at the launch event of this announcement that they are still working to find a deal for international supporters. And I'll be honest, I think if it means that we still get access, I think people would be willing to pay a small fee.
And that's one of the things that I put into that article, kind of a comparison of what the other major sports leagues in America are doing right now. I mean, you have the WNBA, which has a national television deal with ESPN, but, you know, any games that's not being shown on television, you can watch those games on their own streaming network for, what I think, $16 for the entire season. You have Pro Fast Pitch, which is, you know, professional softball. It was $49 for the season. That was over 125 games or something like that. And then you have the Ice Hockey League, which a little bit of a difference. There's only about 40 games or so in their total season, so they don't have any fees at that. But, you know, you ask someone to pay $20 for a season, Kieran, or maybe even have team-specific streams. Like, for say, if, you know, you said fans in Australia want to watch Seattle. Okay, here's an option. You can purchase Seattle-only streaming package for $10. And, you know, you think about it, it's a 20-plus game season. You're paying 50 cents per game. That's not a bad deal.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, it remains to be seen. Obviously, it's exciting for the league. It's security for the league. It's a three-year deal, which would suggest that the league is confident that the next 3 years are still going to be going as normal. Obviously, we've seen previous leagues fold after a few years. We're now entering the, what we're on now, for 2013, 14, 15, 16, fifth season we're going to be going into. So this is a big deal, and obviously it helps the league in the United States progress. And I think the reaction overall has been very, very positive, and it should be, regardless of the rest of us internationally, where we don't know what the future holds. For the United States and for the league itself, this is a big deal, and it's needed for the security of the league and for the future of the league. So well done to those who are involved in sorting it out. I want to stay in America, but move on to another news segment that came out this week, mate. And there's been question marks since the end of last year what the future for Whitney Engen would be, the former US Women's National Team defender. Obviously, I can't use any other term other than frozen out by Jill Ellis towards the end of last year after the Olympics, when it was made known that she would no longer be considered for selection for the United States women's national team. We didn't know what was going to happen. She saw out the NWSL season with the Boston Breakers, and she wrote an open letter on Twitter in the last few days that she wouldn't be playing soccer in 2017. She would be seeing what other opportunities there were and where the path took her. And I just want to get your reaction to it. I've written a piece on the womenssoccerzone.com website. Have a look. You can see what my thoughts are on it, but I'm interested to get yours.
Yeah, you know, Whitney is just one of those players that embodies passion for the game, but also she's one of those players that is enjoyable to be around as well. I've only had an opportunity to chat with her on a couple of occasions. Every time, you know, very polite, very honest, you know, very straightforward, but, you know, someone that, like, someone that welcomes you into a conversation, not to, you know, just have a one-way route, which, you know, you and I have had on a couple of occasions. You know, there are players that like to dominate any sort of an interview or something along those lines, but Whitney is one of those players that it was very easy for fans to get behind. And on the field, she was tenacious in her ability to win out possession, but at the same time, showcased great skill on the ball and good technical ability. And, you know, she's going to be one of those players that a lot of people are going to miss, you know, and it's going to be tough to see who, you know, where things go for her. But hopefully it's for all for the best, and we wish her nothing but the best of success.
Yeah, I mean, I as I say, I've written a piece, and it's definitely, I'd ask people to read it more than, say, not for my sake, but because I think it shows what a class act she is, and actually what she's achieved. You know, one of only a handful of Americans to play in a UEFA Women's Champions League final, one of only two Americans to win an FAWSL title when she was at Liverpool in 2013, and I've said quite openly, one of the best defenders that I've seen in the history of the WSL. Very, very calm in possession, brought a lot of calmness to that Liverpool team that had finished bottom of the league two seasons running as well. Matt Beard came in, completely overhauled the squad, and Whitney Englund was a very, very important part of that side. And Gemma Bonner actually had some nice words to say that's in that article about how she learned so much from Whitney. And obviously Gemma's captain of the team and was a very young, still a young defender, but was even younger when she played alongside Whitney. And she said that she learned a lot about, you know, what it was like to play at the top level with an international defender. And I think I look back at what she achieved, and we asked Twitter followers to kind of describe Whitney in one word, and the word that was repeated quite a few times was underrated. And I said about how she's played in an era where you've got the likes of Christy Rampone and Becky Sauerbrunn, and more recently Julie Johnston and Emily Sonnet, and, you know, others that I haven't even mentioned, and she still managed to amass the caps that she did over a five-year period. She's got to be respected for what she's achieved.
Oh, absolutely. There's a little doubt about that. I mean, you know, it's funny when you talk about that, Kieran, you look over the past, well, a couple decades of center halves for the U.S. That's a very tough group to break into. And Whitney's a World Cup champion, but that's all that you ever really need. Ever that you want as a professional footballer is to be on the biggest stage and have an opportunity to win the biggest titles, and she's done that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, she hasn't announced a retirement, but the way that I read it, it did seem like a goodbye, if not to the world of soccer, then certainly to the NWSL. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we see her again in 2018, because she's still young enough to have a good few years ahead of her, and I would like to think that she might think about coming back next year after a break, but we've seen players call it a day and not make that change, and others have decided to retire and come back, so we'll have to see what happens with her. But I think we'll leave it there, mate. We will have a short break, and then we will come back and talk a little bit about some moves that have happened in the FAWSL.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So, welcome back. JJ, just before we talk about transfers that have happened in the WSL, it's worth noting that the FAWSL 2 starts this weekend, and of course there will be a number of teams vying for promotion. Two teams will be looking to join the elite of the WSL 1 from September. Of course, the season starts in this weekend in the Spring Series, which is essentially a long pre-season tournament, if we're being honest. It's a way of filling the gap between last season finishing and the new autumn-winter calendar, which of course kicks off in September. So teams will be vying for promotion from September. This coming league that is coming up, nothing to play for really, other than pride and the opportunity to embed new players maybe that have come in, and an opportunity for a new manager to have a look at his players, because former Charlton Athletic manager Keith Bonus, who has more recently been the head coach of the Estonia women's national team, has just taken over at Watford Ladies, and he's got a job on his hand, mate. He took Charlton to 3 FA Cup finals in a row about 10 years ago when he was the manager there, and Charlton Athletic were one of the forces in women's football. They were one of the teams that were able to compete with Arsenal Ladies, and then they had their funding cut by the men's team and essentially had to pretty much start all over again. He's got a very similar situation at Watford, in that there's been a lot of rumblings about things going on behind the scenes. A number of players have walked out of the door. The club was taken under the umbrella of the men's team last year, and they haven't really progressed, if I'm honest. It feels like they've gone backwards. Now, this is obviously a club that I'm very close to, because obviously I've worked there. I'm from Watford, so this is a team that I want to see do well. And I look at what Keith's got to go into, and I spoke to him this week, and there'll be a piece going on the Women's Soccer Zone website at some point in the next few days. Tough job for him. Really, really tough job for him. And the reason I haven't brought you into this conversation is because I know that it's difficult, because WSL 2, it's hard enough to follow WSL 1, but WSL 2 is even more difficult. But I really wish Keith well, because I think it's a brave move to take on the Watford job, especially after taking on such a big challenge in Estonia, where I think the remit there wasn't results. It was about increasing participation and developing young players. And it's definitely worth keeping an eye on the article that I write about Keith, because he had some interesting things to say. So WSL 2 starts this weekend. Keep an eye out for results. Obviously, you won't be able to watch any games because they're not streamed anywhere. Even I don't get to see many of them, if any. But going to WSL 1, JJ, there's been a few transfers that have taken place. And I guess, for me, the most interesting one was former Everton Ladies defender Paige Williams returning to England after a stint out in Italy. Played in the UEFA Women's Champions League with both Brescia and with Verona. We saw how solid Birmingham Ladies were last season. They now have added, in my opinion, a much better defender than the one that left for Italy last year.
Well, look, I mean, you know, when she was playing back in England prior to that move, you know, you have to think about it. Paige Williams is, what, 21 years old, 22 maybe? You had an opportunity for her to go overseas or go somewhere else in Europe, get exposure, get playing time and playing time at a good level and continue developing. And now for Birmingham, you get a player in her who's, you know, kind of, not to say revitalized the career, but has given herself a new outlook and a new opportunity. And she's going to fit right nicely in with that team, a team that's looking to make that jump back into competing with the best. They did it last year, but mostly because they didn't give up any goals. They didn't score them either. But as we've talked about in past shows, they're really filling the void on the scoring front. So, you know, they're just continuing to bolster the team and get themselves ready for when fall comes around to make a real run at it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, going to Italy for a young player like her is a bold move. And I remember I interviewed her for Women's Soccer Zone probably about, must have been 18 months ago, that she made the move over there. And I remember she said that she drove over there, packed up her stuff, drove over there from England to Italy, and, you know, didn't speak any of the language, and really made the bold move to go and educate herself on a different level, and got to play UEFA Women's Champions League football. You know, she essentially exchanged Super League 2 football in England for Women's Champions League football. You know, she had the opportunity to play in the competition, as I said, with Brescia and with Verona as well. And I think it's a good move for Birmingham. I really like Paige Williams. You know, can play left back, can play centre back. I think she'll offer competition for places. I know that she's very good friends with Aoife Mannion as well, who's another very, very promising young defender, and I think it'll be a good move for Birmingham. And they also added another one as well, local girl to Birmingham, Emma Follis. Emma used to play for Aston Villa Ladies. I know she's an Aston Villa fan, although she did make a point on social media of saying that she's an Aston Villa men's fan. She is now, of course, a Birmingham City Ladies fan. And it's an interesting one. I think it's a great move for Emma. I know that she's really come on leaps and bounds, England under 23 international. And I think the experience that she had with Reading in WSL 1 last year will really benefit her. But one player that I mentioned that Emma and Ellen White, who of course we mentioned on the last show, would benefit from playing up front with, would be Kirsty Lynette. Well, they're not going to get a chance to play with Kirsty Lynette because she's gone to Notts County Ladies. Now, I don't know how much you've seen of her, JJ, but I really like Kirsty Lynette. I think it's a really good move for Notts County. I think it's a move they needed after losing Ellen White, but I still think Notts County need a few more.
Yeah, they do. You know, it was a bit of a rough season in it last year. I know, obviously, you'll have seen a lot more than I have of Knott's, but we've talked about it in past shows where they just haven't performed really up to the standards that a lot of people were thinking that they were going to be in the past couple of years. I mean, they finished sixth last year, a distant sixth, really almost that the top end of the bottom tier of that league. Defending rough at times, I think, what, second or third worst record in terms of goals against. They need to fix a lot in that team. So, you know, there's always ways to do it, and that's by bolstering the unit. And after you lost a lot of players, you can get them right back and get some, you know, get some good talent in there. And I'll admit, haven't seen a lot of her play because, again, limited access here in the States to the WSL. But just going by what her resume says, it looks like this is going to be a big move for them.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. As I say, I really like Kirsty Lynette. Loss for Birmingham because they've lost Kirsty Lynette and obviously they lost Melissa Lawley to Manchester City. But I think, as I said, bringing in Ellen, bringing in Emma Follis as well, I think they'll no doubt look to do a little bit more business as well ahead of the spring series. Obviously, the spring series for FAWSL 1 clubs doesn't start till April. So they are very much in pre-season. The WSL 2, as I said, starts this weekend. So, yeah, they're the main moves that have taken place. There's a few more that have happened as well. Helen Ward, who is a good friend of mine, has been on this show a number of times. She's presented alongside me on this show. She left Reading Women at the end of last season and was without a club between then and now. And it was announced this week that she will join Jamie Sherwood's Yeovil Town Ladies. I think that's a good move for her. I know speaking to her about it, she's excited. I think the move is initially just for the spring series. Helen has got a young daughter, and I think obviously when you're a mum, your life, that is your priority. And I think Yeovil have been very understanding of that, and I think that plays a big part in where she's going to go. It's a long way from where she lives. So I think they've been very understanding and accommodating in terms of Helen's situation. I know that she's very, very appreciative of that. And she'll offer them a lot of experience. Wales' record goal scorer, and I think, yeah, like that move, good fit, and I think it will work out well for her. And one of the other moves that I mentioned to you before the show was Brooke Chaplin. We obviously discussed Sunderland Ladies on the last show, going from a full-time programme to a part-time. Brooke, who's played for Chelsea, she's played for Everton as well, has moved to Reading. And I think that's a good move for Reading. I like Brooke Chaplin, good midfield player. She's got an eye for a goal. She's got a bit of experience as well. And moving back down south, I'm sure, will be a good move for her. So good move there for Reading. They were the kind of main moves that happened in the WSL over the last week or two, mate. I've probably missed a few out. So if there are any fans of other clubs listening and they're like, you didn't mention this player, you didn't mention that player, I apologise. It's well known, and I make it very obvious that I don't do a running order. So sometimes we miss the odd thing here and there. JJ, there's been one or two moves in the NWSL. We're kind of bouncing around a little bit, but seeing as we're talking about transfers, someone you know very well is back in the United States with the Boston Breakers.
Yeah, Tiff Weimer. It was kind of a badly kept secret for a while. There's been rumors that she was going to be going up to Boston to rejoin the team that she played for back in 2010. So it kind of brings that once a breaker, always a breaker type mentality. But I know that Matt Beard has been very high on Tiffany for a while. Not sure how close it was perhaps maybe getting her over to Liverpool. I know that Tiff is a Liverpool supporter, so that would have been probably a dream move for her. But with that being said, now is an opportunity to help revitalize this team. And, you know, the Boston team, you and I have talked about it, Karen, been impressed on what they've been trying to do. They're trying to get out with the old, bring in new, and try and 180 what they've done over the past couple of years, because this is a club that needs to start having success on the field. They've had success off the field, but they need to start getting the results. And, you know, this is, again, another piece of that proverbial puzzle that'll get them going in the right direction.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. I think one thing that we didn't discuss, it might have happened between this show and the last one. We saw the news that Kaylin Kyle has not had her contract renewed, or certainly hasn't been reallocated by Canada Soccer to the NWSL, and has therefore left the Orlando Pride. And she was quite open at how gutted she was about that one.
Yeah, she was. That's an interesting one, Kieran, because Kaylin Kyle has kind of bounced around from club to club in this league and hasn't really found a home. It might just be in the sense of the position that she plays. She's really more of a number five, kind of someone that will hold in there in the midfield. But you've had a lot of these younger players come through now and can really change that position or really be involved with the attack. Don't think that's really something that, you know, can't, not to say that she doesn't get into the attack, but Kaylin Kyle's not a player that's going to, you know, bomb forward in addition to help in, you know, along with being in defense. So, yeah, it's not so much of that. It's the issue of her not finding a home, but it's the fact that teams are struggling to find a real role for her. So it's going to be an interesting one to see if she continues playing in this league. If she continues playing at all, or does she look to try and go overseas?
Well, that was going to be my next question. What now for her? Because I actually have the NWSL website open in front of me, and I see Boston Breakers, one of her clubs, Houston Dash, one of her clubs, Orlando Pride, Portland Thorns, Seattle Reign. You know, she's played for a half of the league already. Maybe it's time for a fresh start.
It could be. And we've seen it a lot with players, you know, North American players, where if they haven't had some success in this league, they go overseas, try to revitalize their career. We just talked about Tiff Weimer. She spent the back half of last year in Sweden, and she did very well there. And by getting back on form, you come back and possibly make yourself a revitalized new player that someone's going to find a role. Amanda Frisbee is another one of those examples that, you know, struggling to find time, goes to Iceland, gets playing time, has success, and now becomes one of those players that teams want to go out. And maybe that might be the best move for her.
Yeah, without a doubt. I agree with you. Couple of moves that happened in Europe. One that stood out for me was the double deal that PSG have done. They signed, I think it was Natasha Andonova, and they signed Brazilian legend Formiga. Now, Formiga has played in, what, 5 Olympic Games, 6 Olympic Games, something like that. And she does not quit. She just refuses. She refuses to give up. And she's just made a move to one of Europe's biggest clubs. I don't know how she does it, mate.
Drinking from the fountain of youth, perhaps. Maybe in one of her voyages over to the U.S., she stopped in St. Augustine and gotten from it. But listen, heck, you know, playing with that national team since, what, the mid-90s? I mean, that's just ridiculous, the fact that she's still going. And I wouldn't be honestly surprised by, after watching her play in Rio, I know that it's kind of a semi-known thing that was her last tournament, but if she's still in form come a couple of years from now, I would not be surprised that the Brazilian Federation comes knocking to say, hey, want to suit up for one more World Cup, and then turns it into one more Olympics. I mean, it's just amazing the career that she's had, and she's now going to help that team. They need it, because obviously they've had the misfortune of, you know, the points coming from administration And also, you know, fielding the ineligible player to then having a couple of bad results after that, they need help. They need help to try and win that league. Because really, that's the thing at the end of the day. And yeah, she's going to do exactly that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think that's probably it for transfers. But staying in Europe, I think one thing that I wanted to mention is how we sometimes see signs of progress. And we saw this week Tessa Wuller, the Belgian striker, and obviously plays for VfL Wolfsburg. She, number one, she got a new contract this week. She signed a new one-year deal. But more importantly, she won the very first Golden Shoe, Belgium's... let me try that again. She won the very first Belgian Women's Player of the Year at the Belgian Golden Shoe Awards. Now, this is a ceremony or an awards night, which traditionally has recognised men's players. But for the first time, they had a women's award, and Tessa Wuller, I guess unsurprisingly, being that she is Belgium's highest profile player, won that award. It's good to see those sort of things, isn't it, JJ? Because we want that in every country.
Well, I mean, they have to recognize that they have a team that's truly on the rise right now, and with, you know, more places in European championships, obviously the World Cup expanding to 24 teams, Belgium women's team, they could be one of those teams that could be not only competing just for a spot in a major championship finals, but also could be making runs in those tournaments. So it's great to see. I love it. I wish more were doing it, but I guess it's one of those take them as they come.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see more national awards being handed out to players. Please, federations, make it happen. Very quickly, I guess, rounding off, mate, in Europe, and actually this will probably be one of the last things that we have on the show, nice and short one this week. There's been a few pre-season friendlies that have taken place that are worth noting. Bayern Munich and Wolfsburg and Arsenal have been out in Spain. Arsenal played Bayern Munich, lost 3-1. I think Vivian Miedema was on the score sheet. I know Dan Carter was on the score sheet as well. Then Arsenal lost to Wolfsburg 1-0. Not sure who the scorer was in that game because I didn't see any of it. And then Man City have had a couple of friendlies as well. They played Sabina Potsdam, and actually they got a little bit of a hammering, which won't have been something that City have been used to, having gone the whole of last season undefeated other than the defeat they had in the FA Cup to Chelsea. They lost 4-1 to Sabina Potsdam, but I don't read too much into these results because obviously a lot of these teams are in pre-season. Chelsea was an interesting one though, because they managed to overcome Korean side Hyundai Steel Red Angels, South Korean side Hyundai Steel Red Angels. Now, our friend and fellow NWSL media colleague Hal Kaiser, who's based out in Houston, covers a little bit of South Korean football, and he was quite complimentary of Steel Red Angels, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Again, you know, we kind of divert these sort of things to Hal, and if Hal's listening, maybe perhaps down the road he could give us a little more insight into that. But yeah, that's a good result for Chelsea, you know, early goings, to come over really one of the top teams in Asia and getting a result like that. You know, again, a team that's very much, you know, learning about each other, because there's a lot of new faces in there. And if you can come away with high priority wins, you're always going to be very happy with that.
Yeah, well, I know that Maren Mjelde was one of the scorers in the 2-0 win over the South Koreans. And Katia, one of our writers, is actually putting a piece together on why she thinks Maren Mjelde will actually turn out to be Chelsea's best signing. Obviously, we've seen Crystal Dunn and Ramona Backman and Ellie Cuthbert go there as well. There's been a few high profile signings at the club, but Katia's writing a piece as to why she thinks Maren Mjelde will actually be the star of the show this season. So it'd be interesting to keep an eye out for that one. Just another one, I think Arsenal were beaten actually the day of recording. They lost 2-1 at home to FC Rosengard. Rosengard are over here in England. They play Chelsea this coming weekend. I know Manchester City are playing FFC Frankfurt this week as well. So lots of friendlies going on over here in England, and I'm sure that it was good preparation as the teams get ready for the spring series, and Swedish league kicks off around the same time, and obviously for the German teams, they're currently in their winter break, so plenty going on.
And also, Kieran, one other friendly that we forgot to mention quick, Canada playing
Mom's
medal celebration match. Yes.
Yes.
A 3-2 victory over Mexico this past weekend.
Yeah. And interestingly, they now have the Algarve Cup coming up, which we will talk about in a little while, maybe in a future show, maybe in the next couple of weeks. And they've just announced another friendly against Sweden. I think they're playing Sweden. I think they're playing Germany as well. I think they've got a couple of friendlies that are lined up. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. But Janine Becky, I know, grabbed a double in that game in the win over Mexico. I have to say, mate, fair play to Mexico, because Mexico haven't played a game in over a year. I think it's approaching a year. And they were competitive in that game.
Yeah, they were. Seen highlights. Obviously, a couple of changes and some players that were recalled from Olympic qualifying last year. Katie Johnson, the revelation from USC, now Seattle Reign player, featuring that. Bianca Henninger getting the nod in goal from Mexico. It changes coming. Obviously, we're, couple of questions need to be answered, like who's fully taking over the head coaching position. I still haven't heard a name. It'd be nice to know one. Maybe if I miss something, if someone wants to let me know who is. But yeah, Mexico, they're always that big question mark. Which one are we going to see? Are we going to see the one that beat the U.S. back in 2011, qualified for the World Cup, or are we going to see the Mexico team from the last couple of years? But, good play for Canada. A lot of people there in Vancouver to celebrate their bronze medal, though it's kind of ironic since that happened, 7 months ago? The U.S. played a bunch of friendlies since then, but Canada getting there first. I think that's, you and I had a couple of conversations about that, disappointing conversations about that in our time in L.A., but still, maybe we start to see, because Canada is getting on the rise, a few more matches for the women who deserve to play in front of their home fans more often.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, we'll see how they pan out. I think the gap was disappointing, but they have got fixtures coming up. So hopefully John Herdman can continue to build that squad, because they were impressive at the Olympics. They've got a lot of good young players, and they need game time. They need game time together as well. So I hope it works out, and fingers crossed those fixtures keep coming thick and fast. We'll wrap it up there, mate. I think rather than having a break and then coming back to just wrap it up, let's just wrap it up. Thank the listeners once again for continuing to tune in. We are, mate, we're a month away from this show being 4 years old. 4 years ago I started this show, and it never gets dull for me. I still enjoy recording it. I still enjoy our conversations. The feedback is still always good. The numbers are always good. So thank you very much to listeners. JJ, thanks to you as well, mate.
Of course. Always a pleasure.
So, guys, as always, if you want to contact us, you can do. We're on Twitter on @WosoZone. You can email us on WosoZone@gmail.com. You can, of course, listen to the show now through our brand new website, womenssoccerzone.com, or you can listen on iTunes on womenssoccerzone.com. Thank you so much for the massively overwhelming positive reaction that we had when we launched it a couple of weeks ago. Lots of visits to the website, lots of good feedback. Please do continue to visit it. There's a lot of good people who are writing articles, JJ being one of them, and we have a few people in lots of different countries, some good female writers who are writing stuff for us as well, and we'll continue to get the content uploaded. So please do keep visiting womenssoccerzone.com, and I promise you that we will try and bring you as much content as we can. But until the next time, take care of yourselves, and bye-bye. We'll be right back.